Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michael Hauptmann, who is the Financial Policy Counsel at Public Citizen, a national nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. Tell me, Micah, you're basically in favor of these new Volcker rules that have finally come into play after an enormous amount of obstruction to the implementation of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Consumer Protection Act. Others, of course, like Bill Black, who put all of the crooks in jail during the savings and loan, following the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s, is pretty critical of it. So let me begin with the good news.
Well, the good news is there are many positive aspects of the final rule, and the final rule was considerably stronger than what regulators initially proposed. So we're happy about that. But there are still considerable amount of opportunities for banks to engage in prohibited proprietary trading and disguise that as permitted activities. And so we're concerned about those opportunities that banks could engage in. But at this point, we're cautiously optimistic, and now it's on to the regulators to make sure that they implement it vigorously.
But in Bill Black's main critique, I guess, is that the failure to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act is really at the heart of it, and that this is a compromise. And unless you really repeal the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, you're not going to really address the problem.
Well, it's true that this doesn't get to the full implementation of a, let's say, 21st century Glass-Steagall Act, but it does have that spirit. The Volcker Rule is designed to stop banks from engaging in proprietary trading, and that's really speculative trading purely for their own profit instead of in service of their clients. And one of the chief causes of the 2008 financial crisis was banks engaging in proprietary trading, often high risk, could result in large losses, which in turn exposed banks and the financial system to distress. And the current iteration, the Volcker Rule, does have some exemptions and exclusions that are not as robust, don't make the rule as robust as, let's say, Glass-Steagall, but it does put us in the right direction, and it's a pretty sizable step forward toward a safer financial system.
But essentially what we're talking about here is the power of the five largest banks who do virtually all of the financial derivative trading by U.S. banks, are we not?
That's right. That's right. The Volcker Rule is pretty narrow in scope in that it only applies to the largest, most systemic banks that are trading for their own account. And medium-sized banks and community banks don't prop trade. They give loans to customers. They take deposits. They operate like traditional banks because they are traditional banks. It's the largest banks that have combined their investment functions with their commercial lending functions that this would apply to.
And again, I'm speaking with Michael Hauptmann, who is the Financial Policy Counsel at Public Citizen, a national nonprofit consumer advocacy organization where he is the counsel for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. So this is obviously needed because we have the recent example of J.P. Morgan's $6 billion trading loss in 2012 from the so-called London Whale in London. I'm curious to know why it is that the banks like J.P. Morgan and the other four of the big banks have fought so hard through their lobbyists to emasculate the Dodd-Frank Act and to prevent this kind of regulation that's finally coming in with the adoption of the Volcker Rule. You would think that given the losses that they would actually be in favor of it. So what is motivating them to fight so hard to prevent the Volcker Rule's implementation?
They have fought very hard, and it's because prop trading can be a giant source of revenue in good times, although it can be a source of loss in bad times, as we saw in the financial crisis and again with the London Whale trading debacle. I should point out that banks sought to broaden the hedging exemption within the Volcker Rule, and the final rule was much more targeted and narrow. And so we're pleasantly surprised by this fix, and we think that another London whale would not be likely to occur, because banks are going to have to document their trading and prove that they are engaging in hedging specific risks for specific purposes in specific ways, and they can't just claim that they are hedging risk just broadly, which Jamie Dimon originally claimed before he changed his tune, and he said that it was a hedge gone wrong.
So do we know what the outstanding potential debts or the amounts of derivative trades are? I mean, I remember some time back, Warren Buffett referred to derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction. What is the outstanding number on derivatives that are out there? Do we know?
So globally, it's almost $700 trillion notional value. But domestically, I believe it's around $300 trillion. And banks can still deal in derivatives under the Volcker Rule, but their ability to profit based on high-risk speculative activity based on derivatives is going to be curtailed.
So you're saying it's how many? $350 trillion? Was that what you said?
I believe that it's about $300 trillion domestic, but that's notional.
Right. Well, but let's just do the math. $300 trillion domestic, and the annual GDP is what, $14
trillion? I believe it's about $15 trillion, yeah.
15. It's up to 15 now. So just do the math. I mean, compared, how many years of GDP is that? Like 15 years of GDP or something. No, it's more than that.
It's a sizable amount. The derivatives market is quite substantial.
So explain to our audience the difference between if this derivative market is about, what, 20 times, more than 20 times the annual GDP of the United States, when you say it's notional, what does that mean?
The notional is the amount of that is referenced. So a derivative references either an asset, let's say an asset going up or down, or interest rates going up or down, or a company succeeding or failing. And so the value that's assigned to the underlying occurrence or the asset is the notional value. And so that's not the amount that is changing hands between the different counterparties. And so often you can have a contract, a derivatives contract, for $100 million, but only tens of thousands of dollars are actually changing hands between the parties.
So what are the roles then of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, who've adopted these rules, and the Commodities Futures and Trading Commission that's supposedly to police these rules?
So there are five agencies in total that adopted and will be implementing the rules. And let's see if I can name them. It's the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the CFTC, and the SEC. And so there are the banking, the prudential regulators that are going to make sure that the banks are engaging in safe and sound activities and that their safety and soundness is preserved. And then there are the market regulators, the CFTC and the SEC, that are going to enforce and make sure that the markets are working properly. And so that's in the securities and derivatives markets. So they have different missions, but all of them working together are going to make sure that the Volcker Rule is hopefully implemented properly, and they're going to oversee and enforce markets to make sure that that the banks are in compliance.
So given the history of these big, powerful banks, the five biggest banks, and their deployment of legions of lobbyists on Capitol Hill and lawyers, are they likely to basically accept the Volcker Rule, or are they going to, behind the scenes, nibble away at it to death?
I guess we'll see. Time will only tell. I'm already hearing that banks are looking to sue regulators, I guess, on a variety of fronts on this rule, and they've already sued on a number of other proposed and final rules under the Dodd-Frank Act. So we'll see what happens there, but I would imagine that if a rule is adversely affecting their bottom line, they're going to not sit quietly.
So if indeed the banks do, which I think is reasonably predictable, what then will the Congress do? It's pretty clear that the Republicans have, and many Democrats on the banking committees, have sided with the big banks. So it's been a real uphill battle to implement Dodd-Frank, which of course came in after the 2008 crash. And since then, of course, memories fade and lobbyists have their day.
That's right. And only about one third of the required rules under Dodd-Frank have been finalized. And so we still have a long way to go, although today is should be a victory for consumers and for taxpayers. I'm pretty happy that even though we were outnumbered in lobbyists, in lobbying for the Volcker Rule, public citizens, members, and supporters sent 15,000 of the approximate 18,000 total comments to regulators on the Volcker Rule. So we did have a pretty sizable influence, and we should be happy that the rule came out stronger than was initially proposed. I think that we'll see if the Volcker Rule is implemented as Congress intended it, then I think that we'll be in good shape and banks will be made substantially safer. However, if regulators decide that I guess they should just go home today and don't implement it vigorously, then we'll have to consider other ways to make the banking system safer, and that includes passage of 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act, which Senator Elizabeth Warren has already proposed.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Hauptmann, the Financial Policy Counsel at Public Citizens Congress Watch Division, and we're talking about the implementation today of the Volcker Rule, named after Paul Volcker, the first chairman of the Fed under Ronald Reagan, followed, of course, by Alan Greenspan. Volcker apparently did get the ear of President Obama. Apparently he's an impressive guy and much more down to earth and more in touch with the people of this country as opposed to the esoteric Alan Greenspan, who was completely blindsided by the 2008 crash. So, and of course was the executor of Ayn Rand's will and was a devotee of that strange lady's Darwinian philosophy. So he kind of got marginalized, didn't he, within Obama's inner circles by Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary, and, of course, the sort of ubiquitous Larry Summers, Obama's economic advisor. Is that your understanding?
I think there have been differing accounts. Paul Volcker was definitely not in the inner circle of the White House, however, his influence in getting the Volcker Rule to be one of the strongest pillars of the Dodd-Frank Act is pretty impressive.
So somehow he survived the apparent sniping that went on within the White House. At least there have been pretty substantial reports to that effect.
That's right. And despite Tim Geithner's apparent opposition to the Volcker Rule.
And now, of course, Tim Geithner has taken a job with a big investment bank on Wall Street.
I believe he's working for a private equity firm currently.
That's right. Well, just in closing then, Michael Hauptmann, give us a sense of we, you know, I started out by talking about Bill Black's criticism that's saying it's not enough, and you've said that the 21st century new Glass-Steagall Act is in the wings. Senator Elizabeth Warren is offering it up as a kind of backstop. How long do you think we'll know before the Volcker rules are actually having the effect that they've intended to have?
Well, unfortunately, it won't be for a while because the conformance period has been delayed a year to July 2015. So we have about now a year and a half to wait to see for banks to be in full compliance with the rule, and then we'll see what their trading activity looks like. But if regulators don't put forward the Volcker rule and implement it with strict oversight and enforcement, and really change the casino culture that has dominated on Wall Street these last couple of years, then we will be looking for Congress to stand ready to pass Senator Warren's 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act.
Well, Michael Hauptmann, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Hauptmann, who is the Financial Policy Counsel at Public Citizens Congress Watch Division, which is, of course, a national nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. We've been talking about the implementation, finally, of the new Volcker Rule. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Bye.